Part 2. Listen to 3 longer conversations. For questions 11 to 20, choose the best answer, A, B or C. You will hear each conversation twice. You now have 2 minutes to read the questions.
The Working Nap. Hi, Shelley. I would like to welcome you to the studio. Today, Shelley Good, you are here to tell us about a new trend that is catching on in offices around the world.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that yet, though it's certainly becoming more and more acceptable in America and in Europe.
It being an afternoon nap on company time.
That's right. A number of companies in the United States are actually encouraging their employees to take a short nap in the afternoon. They believe that their workers need to take some time off each day to recharge their batteries, so to speak, and relax. It is better than the burning out in the end.
So there are quite a few lucky people out there getting paid to sleep?
Yes, but the fact is, the majority of office workers tend to find difficulty concentrating on their work at around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Obviously, this is a natural conclusion. We are programmed to need to sleep and rest at least twice a day. You might be doing the weekly accounts, and suddenly your eyelids will feel heavy and start to droop. If you don't sleep a little, you won't be able to focus for the rest of the day.
So what you're saying then is that it's more productive to allow someone to have a small nap?
That's exactly right. People could get away with about 20 minutes of REM sleep and wake up feeling much more refreshed and ready to work. In fact, they will be more ready to tackle any problem than if they had a cup of coffee. Indeed, coffee will only give you energy for a limited time, eventually making you crash later on. In the end, all we really need is sleep. That and food, water and breathing.
The Working Nap. Hi, Shelley. I would like to welcome you to the studio. Today, Shelley Good, you are here to tell us about a new trend that is catching on in offices around the world.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that yet, though it's certainly becoming more and more acceptable in America and in Europe.
It being an afternoon nap on company time.
That's right. A number of companies in the United States are actually encouraging their employees to take a short nap in the afternoon. They believe that their workers need to take some time off each day to recharge their batteries, so to speak, and relax. It is better than the burning out in the end.
So there are quite a few lucky people out there getting paid to sleep?
Yes. But the fact is, the majority of office workers tend to find difficulty concentrating on their work at around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Obviously, this is a natural conclusion. We are programmed to need to sleep and rest at least twice a day. You might be doing the weekly accounts, and suddenly your eyelids will feel heavy and start to droop. If you don't sleep a little, you won't be able to focus for the rest of the day.
So what you're saying then is that it's more productive to allow someone to have a small nap?
That's exactly right. People could get away with about 20 minutes of REM sleep and wake up feeling much more refreshed and ready to work. In fact, they will be more ready to tackle any problem than if they had a cup of coffee. Indeed, coffee will only give you energy for a limited time, eventually making you crash later on. In the end, all we really need is sleep, that and food, water and breathing.
Train story.
So, I asked one of the ticket office workers where my train was, and he told me platform 6. I remember it quite clearly.
But it wasn't there, I guess. What happened then?
Well, when I got there, I couldn't spot a train anywhere around me. And I was informed by the platform worker that it just left. I was outraged. It left early. But I asked when the next train to New York City would come, and he looked at me confused.
Were you on the wrong platform?
He said I was a long way away from where I needed to be and that I would need to hurry because the train would leave quite soon. He told me to get to the 11th platform on the other side of the station. I had to run very fast and I really didn't think I would make it before the final boarding call.
Oh, that is a far way away. Did you make it in time?
I was so lucky. The worker was right, of course, it was platform 11. But when I got there, I thought I had missed it. But thankfully, it hadn't even arrived yet. In fact, it turns out it would be delayed for 45 minutes or more due to snow in the valley. So I was grateful he was wrong about something.
You are very lucky indeed. I am glad you made it. Train story.
So, I asked one of the ticket office workers where my train was, and he told me platform 6. I remember it quite clearly.
But it wasn't there, I guess. What happened then?
Well, when I got there, I couldn't spot a train anywhere around me. And I was informed by the platform worker that it just left. I was outraged. It left early. But I asked when the next train to New York City would come, and he looked at me confused.
Were you on the wrong platform?
He said I was a long way away from where I needed to be and that I would need to hurry because the train would leave quite soon. He told me to get to the 11th platform on the other side of the station. I had to run very fast and I really didn't think I would make it before the final boarding call.
Oh, that is a far way away. Did you make it in time?
I was so lucky. The worker was right, of course, it was platform 11. But when I got there, I thought I had missed it. But thankfully, it hadn't even arrived yet. In fact, it turns out it would be delayed for 45 minutes or more due to snow in the valley. So I was grateful he was wrong about something.
You are very lucky indeed. I am glad you made it.
Ancient recreation.
So, Dr. Brooks, you have just published a new book on recreation in the ancient Egyptian period, haven't you?
Indeed I have, though I think I should add that the title of the book may be misleading, although there were some Egyptians who had the fortune of having the luxury of some free time. It wasn't universal by any means, though there were periods of relaxation and recreation. Often the rich were the only class that could afford more regular and plentiful time off.
That sounds a lot like today, I suppose. About the book, I was deeply interested in how Egyptian children enjoyed their free time. How was Egyptian recreation different from what we have today for children?
Well, for the most part, life wasn't all fun and games, like it is for most children today. Though, like today, a portion of their day was taken up with preparing to become citizens and functioning members of society. Peasant children were taught how to farm or other skills they would need, whilst more privileged children were taught to become scribes, priests or officers in the army.
The children from more privileged classes were able to engage in more recreation than those of the lower classes, I imagine.
In fact, while the peasants had hard-working lives, they had incredibly vibrant festivals and moments of relaxation. It was one of the things that surprised me while doing the research for this book. Yes, peasants had hard lives, and indeed many worked far too hard. But for a good deal of them, life was a mixture of suffering and levity. Indeed, the children and adults of the higher classes did not have the stark contrast of hard work and hard play. Simply more time to play and less stressful work. Ancient recreation.
So, Dr. Brooks, you have just published a new book on recreation in the ancient Egyptian period, haven't you?
Indeed, I have. Though I think I should add that the title of the book may be misleading. Although there were some Egyptians who had the fortune of having the luxury of some free time. It wasn't universal by any means, though there were periods of relaxation and recreation. Often the rich were the only class that could afford more regular and plentiful time off.
That sounds a lot like today, I suppose. About the book, I was deeply interested in how Egyptian children enjoyed their free time. How was Egyptian recreation different from what we have today for children?
Well, for the most part, life wasn't all fun and games, like it is for most children today. Though, like today, a portion of their day was taken up with preparing to become citizens and functioning members of society. Peasant children were taught how to farm or other skills they would need, whilst more privileged children were taught to become scribes, priests, or officers in the army.
The children from more privileged classes were able to engage in more recreation than those of the lower classes, I imagine.
In fact, while the peasants had hard working lives, they had incredibly vibrant festivals and moments of relaxation. It was one of the things that surprised me while doing the research for this book. Yes, peasants had hard lives, and indeed many worked far too hard. But for a good deal of them, life was a mixture of suffering and levity. Indeed, the children and adults of the higher classes did not have the stark contrast of hard work and hard play. Simply more time to play and less stressful work.